like special music. We're not doing away with special music. But you'll sit and you'll just listen to people sing, and it'll almost be an entertainment. Because you're sitting there, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying singing. I got people I enjoy to hear sing. I tell you, I'd rather hear Mark Wheeler sing. You know, he's one of my favorite singers I sit and listen to. But if we're not careful, that can become entertainment. And when we all sing together, then that invokes worship. You can worship when somebody else is singing, don't get me wrong. But I like getting the church involved in congregational music, amen. I believe that's right. Psalm 119, and we'll begin reading in verse 105 tonight. I'm not sick, but it was 7 degrees last week and 20 degrees this morning. So it's all right here. And some of y'all think all my problems are right here. I thought you liked me. I thought a lot of people liked me. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. O Lord, teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Let's pray and ask God to add His blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for Calvary. Lord, thank You, Lord, for the blood. Lord, thank You, Lord, for the sweet song service we've had tonight. Lord, just singing to You. Lord, I wasn't singing to these folks tonight, and they weren't singing to me, Lord. If our hearts were right, we were trying to sing to You, because You're the only one worth singing about. You're the only one that's worthy to sing about tonight. We thank You for it. I pray, Lord, You bless us now as we open up Your Word for a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in Psalm 119, we've come now to the 14th section and the 15th message in our series. You'll recall the first message was an introduction, and we're in section number 15. We should finish this up in December at the rate we're going, amen. But I don't mind taking it slow. I've enjoyed studying it. And tonight we find, and I'm not going to really center our thoughts around this, but I do want to give you the definition. The word, the Hebrew letter nun, N-U-N, is above this portion of Scripture, and it means fish. And I've been racking my brain, how in the world am I going to make an application about fish and the Word of God? But I thought about this, if you obey the Word of God, you'll be a fisher of men. Amen. That's the best I got. Take it or leave it. All right. That's all that I was reading behind had anyway. But what I want to deal with tonight, as this text opens up, it has a theme throughout these 8 verses. And the theme is a path or a direction. We're going to talk about that tonight. And I thought about that old gospel bluegrass song, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. That's what I want to talk about tonight, about the power of the Word of God to guide our path. You know, some people, I've counseled with many people before and talked many people, and they'll say, well, preacher, I'm just following my heart. May I encourage you tonight, that is a very, very dangerous statement. Bible said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I got news for them. When somebody says they're following their heart, they're not following their heart. They're following their fleshly desires, but they want to sound spiritual by saying, well, I'm following my heart. We're not to follow our hearts. We're not to follow ourselves. We're to follow the Word of God. I'm literally, the millennials, well, I'm a millennial, so what is it, Generation X? Is that the next generation? I don't know. It's a question mark what it is to me. They don't know anything about Randy McNally. Anybody know who Randy McNally is? The Randy McNally maps. They were this tall and had 785 pages in it. My daddy bought one every year. I don't see how we got anywhere. I mean, I can't find a bathroom without a GPS. I have to have a GPS. I get lost real, real easy. I mean, I told one fellow, I said, I'm lost. He said, well, repeat after me. But anyway, you'll get that after a while. But, I get lost real easy. But in this world, I get lost sometimes. And the reason I get lost is I'm not adhering roadmap that God's given me in the Word of God. I want to say 3 or 4 things. Can I say, you cannot follow your feelings. They will change. Yes, sir.
You feel good one day and feel bad the next. If you go on your feelings and you go by that, then you'll end up in the wrong direction. You can't follow your flesh, it's corrupt. You can't follow your fears, they'll hold you captive. But you can follow your Father because He cares for you. Say three or four things out. First of all, verse 105 and verse 106, we find the direction of His path. This verse, verse 105, is probably one of the most popular verses in Psalm 119. You might have it on your Bible cover. You might have it up in a prominent place in your home. It's a good verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We see two things in these two verses. First of all, we find the path revealed. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And the word picture there is the Jews. And in those Bible days, Brother Charles, they would have little lamps that would literally go around their ankles. There was little lights, and it would light each step that they took. It wouldn't light way down the road. It wouldn't light hundreds of yards. But you know what? Every step they took, there was light. You know what I want God to do to me, do for me that He won't do? I wish God would just shine the light on down the road where I could see everything that was coming my way, every bump in the road, every curve in the road, every twist in the road. I wish God would do that. Let me see that. But you know what? He won't do it. Because if I knew everything that was coming down the road, I could prepare for it, I could be ready for it, and I wouldn't have to trust God. But honey, when I'm just taking it step by step in the will of God, I have to trust to the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, and in all my ways acknowledge Him. You know what He'll do? He will direct my path. Amen. So as a preacher, I wish God would let me know what He's going to do this year. He ain't going to do it because He wants you to trust Him in 2020. He's just a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The path revealed. Then there's the path fulfilled. Look at verse 106. I have sworn. He's not cussing. He's talking about a promise. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. He said, Lord, you've showed me the path you want me to walk down. He said, by the grace of God, I'm going to fulfill the will of God for my life. Evangelist Milton Taylor said, the will of God is like headlights on a car. You only see as much as you need to. And the further you go down the road, the more you see. And can I testify about this? The further you go with God, the more He'll let you see. The path fulfilled. The direction of His path. Then secondly tonight in verse 107, the desperation of His pain. Unfortunately, we must not be, you know, we preach against the Joy Boys and the Joel Osteens and all that feel-good crowd, but we're guilty of having their mentality many a times. We're guilty of when things go on. Well, I'm serving God and I'm tithing and I'm praying and giving the missions and I'm tithing and I'm praying and I'm giving the missions and I'm tithing and I'm giving the mission. You can tell Mission Sunday is coming up, amen. And I'm doing all this, and how come this trouble happens? We're guilty of having the same mentality as the Joy Boys. Their mentality is, you sow this seed of faith, you do good, all this stuff, you'll never have a bad day, you'll never have a problem, your refrigerator will never break, I mean, everything's just going to be wonderful, your team will always win the Super Bowl, it'll always be wonderful, and if you've lived long enough, you'll realize that just ain't so. The will of God put Joseph in a pit. The will of God put David in the cave of Adullam. The will of God put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a furnace. The will of God put Daniel in the lion's den. The will of God put the disciples in a storm. The will of God put Paul shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And the will of God put Jesus on a cross. The will of God is not always an easy path, but it is always the right path. I find a couple things, the seriousness of His affliction. He said, verse 107, I am afflicted very much. The wording of the text does not mean the psalmist has a head cold. Come on now. It doesn't mean that he's having a bad day. It means that word affliction gives the idea of extreme pressure in one's life. I'm afraid many of us don't know anything about affliction. The average American, and I'm an American, that means I can pick on them, but that we don't know anything about affliction. One of our three cars won't crank up, and we think it's the tribulation period. And I like all my vehicles to crank. Somebody say amen right there. But we don't realize that God has blessed this generation more than any other generation He ever has. And something, you know, Daxton, the church was very kind enough to take up that money and give me get me this new iPad. And I'm telling you, I'm very grateful and I'm using it for the Lord. Amen. And I gave Daxton my old iPad. And I took all my stuff off of it and put some games and stuff on it and gave it to him. And about 2 days later, he came to me and said, "This iPad's slow." I said, "Son, you know what I had for an iPad when I was growing up? I had one of them things where I had a magnetic pen and you wrote and you took that little thing, you slid it back and forth and erased it. That was my iPad. I remember when I got a Game Boy Color and I thought I was uptown. And my iPad's too slow." And we're guilty of doing the same thing. Affliction he's talking about here is that pressure. The seriousness of his affliction. But watch the source of his answer. "Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word." Don't look at me, stranger, and don't throw nothing at me. But when he got afflicted, he didn't go looking for a pill. He didn't go looking for a bottle. He didn't go looking for a relationship. He didn't go looking for a high. He went to his Bible. I'm not against people taking medication if they need it, but you know if you need it or not. I am against doctors drugging up a generation like they have. Amen. I am against that. You'd be surprised how many people are addicted to pills and they really don't need them, but a doctor's convinced them that they do. And some doctors, I've said it before, I'll say it again, but some doctors, there ain't no difference between them and the drug pusher on the street. The only difference, the doctor, he has a white coat and an office. Yeah, that's exactly right. But his source of his answer, he went to the Bible. That's where he got help. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from my friends." No. "My help cometh from my church." No. You can get help at church. "My help cometh from my pastor." No. I can preach the word of God and try to help you. But my help, if you get any help, my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The direction of his path, the desperation of his pain. Can I ask you a question? Where do you go when you need help? Do you go to the world or do you go to the Word? A lot of people go to the world for help. And then if that don't work, "I forgot to pray." You think that'd be the first thing we'd do? Number three, the desire of his person. Verse 108. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. When a man, whoever side was telling me to be quiet, y'all need to be quiet. When a man or a woman allows the word of God to direct his path, he will in turn have godly desires and want to please the Lord with his life. Watch three things in this verse. The sincerity of his prayer. "Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth." He has removed pride out of his heart. He's not praying to impress others. Boy, you ever heard somebody pray that are trying to, they'll pray out loud to try to impress everybody around them? You know, I mean, they ain't prayed at all, but you call on them, "Oh, Lord God, I tell you thou, I'm not speaking in tongues, but they're just a praying. Oh, yeah, hush, I know where y'all talking about. Inside joke, let's stay away from there. And it's bad when people know all your inside jokes and they start laughing and you got to ignore it. And they'll just pray to try to impress everybody around them. God, mind you, your prayers don't impress God. See, there's a difference between impressing people and pressing upon God. Prayer is pressing upon God, beseeching Him, begging Him to help you. The sincerity of his prayer. The sacrifice of praise. He said, "Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth." We know that in the Old Testament there were five offerings. And I have studied them this morning briefly. I actually would like to preach a message on these offerings. They're great. There's the burnt offering, the meal offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, and the sin offering. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do they mean?" I ain't telling you because I want to come back and preach on them. Amen. Amen. But there's also something called the freewill offering. And I will tell you this, in all those five offerings, there were requirements. There had to be a requirement for the lamb, for whatever you brought, the turtle dove, the requirements. But that freewill offering, there was no requirements. It's whatever extra you wanted to give God from your heart. It's after you have met the requirements, it's whatever extra you wanted to give Him. And can I say this? The Bible said in Hebrews 13, verse 15, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips."
the free will offering of my mouth. You get it? Giving Him thanks. Giving thanks to His name. When's the last time that you went beyond what was required? All right, we require you to stand up and grab a song book and sing. That's congregational. But when's the last time you gave Him extra just because you was thankful? In Exodus chapter number 35, the children of Israel, they're getting things together for the tabernacle. And Moses gives a word to the people. He said, if you want to bring something for the purpose of building God, a tabernacle, bring. And the Bible says the children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. You read through that, Brother William, it got to the point that Moses and Aaron said, y'all have to stop bringing stuff. We have way too much. I guarantee you this, in the 7 years I've been here and the around 14 years this church has been here, we ain't never had an offering where the treasurer had to say, okay, y'all stop giving. We have way too much money. Can I say this? And we'll never have a service where God says, hey, y'all just thanked me too much. Y'all praised me too much. Y'all sang to me too much. You preached that Bible. Y'all need to... No, 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 no. He's worthy of it. Amen. Then there's the student of the precepts. Watch what he says, verse 1-8. And teach me thy judgments. So when you're in that direction and you're using your Bible for a roadmap like we're talking about tonight, you want to know more. Brother Stennett Blue always laughed and said, I find it funny those people that say, I want to know more about my Lord, but they won't come to Sunday school. Yeah. They'll get up in the choir and sing, I want to know more about my Jesus, but I don't come to Sunday school. Liar. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He was a student. Number four, watch the danger of his position. Verse 109 and verse 10. 110. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Watch his fears in verse 109. This phrase, my soul is continually in my hand, gives the idea of being anxious. You ever been anxious? You ever been fearful about something that was coming? That's where the psalmist says I'm at. Then his foes in verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. We know what a snare is. It's a trap to try to catch something. But watch his faith in verse 109 and verse 110. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. In verse 109, he was not forgetful concerning his fears. He was afraid, but he didn't forget where his help was found. May I remind you, when you get afraid, it's not a sin to be afraid, but it's a sin to stay afraid. Because Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then he was not fleeing in verse 110 concerning his foes. They were trying to do him in. But he said, run if you want to and run if you will, but I came here to stay. The Bible said in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why did it say a lion? Well, the lion is the king of the jungle. I know you thought that George was king of the jungle, but he's not. The lion is the king of the jungle. He has boldness. You ever watch that lion there at the zoo? You ever heard a lion roar? Son, it'll shake you to the core. And God's people, we're just so timid and so, well, I tell you, it's time for God's people to take a stand. Be bold and not be fearful of the world, not be fearful of. I'm not talking about arrogance and a foolishness and a bad spirit, but I'm talking about a boldness and a confidence. I read this quote today. Y'all know I'm a baseball fan. And I'm a sports fan in general. And they've been I talked last Wednesday night about the Astros getting in trouble for cheating. And what they were doing, they put a camera in the outfield. That's all I've watched. You've been watching impeachment. I've been watching this Astros deal. It might be more important. Baseball could be ruined by this, people. This is important. Who cares about the impeachment? We get Mike Pence if they impeach him. I'm worried about baseball. I know 28 people on social media ain't going to like that. But
They had a camera in the outfield and they were reading the signs and beating on track. That's cheating. You can't do that with technology. But Greg Maddux released a quote today. Greg Maddux, my favorite pitcher of all time, pitched for the Braves. He said, "I don't care if you steal signs. I'll tell you what I'm going to throw. It'll be an 89-mile-an-hour sinker and you won't hit it." And he's in the Hall of Fame to prove that. Here's my point. He ain't being cocky or arrogant. He's just confident in what he could do. Can I say this? When we brag on the Lord and what he can do, that's not being cocky and arrogant. That's bragging on it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he can do for you. Somebody said, "Why do you always have to give those carnal illustrations?" Stennett Blue said he used to give spiritual illustrations, but Baptists don't get those. But they always get the carnal ones. Amen. Here's the last thing, and I'm done. There's the delight of his possession. I'll give you four things. We're going to close tonight. Notice his inheritance in verse 111. "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever." That word heritage literally means inheritance. You know what inheritance is? It's great value. My granddaddy died 2 years ago, and I didn't know this, but about a month before he died, he was a huge NASCAR fan. Worked at Atlanta Motor Speedway for many years. Knew Dale Earnhardt when nobody knew who Dale Earnhardt was. I mean, that's how far back he goes. And I didn't know this, but he had put stuff back for years, collectibles. He knew I loved the Braves. I didn't know this, but after he died, my grandma gave me a bag that he had put together a month before he died. He separated all the grandkids. Each one of us got a different bag of his possessions. And Brother Charles, he kept newspaper clippings from when the Braves would clinch divisions. Little NASCARs, hats that were signed by people. Newspaper clippings when Georgia beat somebody. Just stuff he knew that I liked as a kid. I'll be honest with you, ain't none of that worth really anything monetarily. But it means something to me. It's an inheritance. It means it has value more than just a monetary. It has legitimate value. My other grandpa, before he died, he folded a flag by himself. And that's very, very hard to do if you've ever seen anybody do it. I have that in my office. That's very valuable to me. He always had an American flag pin they wore on his lapel. I have that in my office. It means something to me. Brother Keith and Miss Candace, they gave me something the other day. It's a pocket knife with a wooden handle. And in the handle, it has Jack's signature. And it says, "Thank you, love Jack." He's able. That means a lot to me. It's valuable to me. The psalmist says, "I may not have much, but I have an inheritance of His word." And that's speaking of the value of it. He said, "I wouldn't take nothing for the joy that I get out of the word of God." The inheritance. There's the inspiration. Verse 11, 111. He says, "For they are the rejoicing of my heart." He said that word makes my heart rejoice. There's his inclining in verse 112. "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always." That word "incline" means to stretch out or to extend. He's saying, "I'm going to do everything I can to stay in this way." And then the last thing, his intentions, even unto the end. You know what he's saying? He said, "I'm not in it to quit. I'm in it to win it." If we're not careful, we'll just be in this thing just because it's a good moral thing to go to church and read the Bible and sing and pray. It needs to be more than that. It needs to be something that not only we're involved in, but it's involved working in us. So I'm going to keep on using my Bible for a roadmap. The last line of the song says, "My last stop is heaven some sweet day." I guarantee you, somebody said, "Well, how do you get to heaven from earth?" Use the map, and it won't lead you wrong. Amen. I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate the Word of God, don't you? Appreciate the truth of it. I'll give you a couple of prayer requests tonight.